and get ready to roll. Let's do this. Haha, yeah. We had the Golden Globes this week, at the beginning of this week, and figured I might as well, remark upon them. Because there was some stuff. I did get to see some of the awards. Then I saw, some conversations on Twitter. Straight up, before we even get started, that suit or at least that jacket that your boy Tyler Perry was rocking, is a cold piece right there, boy. I need to find where that jacket at. For real, you know what I mean? Don't sleep. Nerd Soul does wear a blazer from time to time. It's not all time wearing blazers. But I mean, I can possibly wear a blazer. Straight up though, I was like, dang, that's smooth. It was smooth, it was silky smooth, had a little pattern in and all that. That was dope. Big shout out to Mahershala Ali. Really doing his thing. I was surprised he got the supporting though. I was like, supporting? I was like, ain't the movie about his character? But I was like, yo, word up. Regina King got hers. Sandra Oh held it down, got hers. So I actually saw those awards. I didn't see Pete Ramsey for Into the Spider-Verse. I had to run out and everything. But I am so happy that joint. I mean, it's kind of a slam dunk that wins. Because last year, you're looking at probably Into the Spider-Verse being number one. Incredibles being number two, and maybe Wreck-It Ralph being number three. As far as they lucky Dragon Ball Super joint didn't drop last year, because that might have been another story. But now on the real, man, Into the Spider-Verse is just an incredible film. It's straight dumb nice. So it doesn't, I can't explain how fresh that joint is. There were some conversations I saw about, of course, Green Book being put into the musicals and comedies or whatever. Yeah, that's just how Golden Globes do. That's why I don't give a lot of weight to them, because it's like the Golden Globes is kind of a joke. Because they don't, I guess, segregate and set and place movies in the proper categories, and they don't segment or whatever their categories properly either, because like I think they have like TV's musicals and comedies, all in one thing. It's like, dude, that's three different, that's three different categories. And like, say if there aren't musicals this year, then you just don't give an award that year. Like, you don't have to throw them all into one award. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it just astounds me. I've never been a fan of that, but it's just how they do. Because the Hollywood Foreign Press that actually like do the voting and put on the awards. They're just trying to throw a party, and for Hollywood elites and stuff. It's really not about like actually doing like accurate. Titles, awards, segments, categories. It's about just getting everybody in one room and having like a big party, which I'm down with. The only thing is like, it's essentially just a big party that people put like mad weight on. And that's my problem, is like, they put so much weight on the Golden Globes. And I'm like, dude, it's just a party for Hollywood to kind of like get together and be like, yo man, last year was dope, we did a lot of dope stuff, woohoo, and that's it. Of course, Black Panther, bruh, come on, that's all I'm gonna say about that. I'm gonna just leave that alone. Come on, bruh. Like, Black Klansman didn't get a look, and I was just like, come on, man. Here's my thing about Black Klansman. The sobering truth at the end, where if you can cut a movie that is set in, I believe, the 70s into the year 2017 seamlessly, that not only shows, you know, the precision in your editing and filmmaking, but also shows that we got some real problems with society. Like, it shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't be that easy to like cut from one to the other. But Black Klansman is a movie that I think is tight. There's not a lot of fat on it. It's funny. It means something. It has, you know, like historical reference. And I think they kind of slept on it. Well, it's also, you know, the message. And Spike Lee isn't like the most well-liked dude in Hollywood. But the movie still exists. And in my opinion, I don't really, you know, need. And I know we go back and forth between, you know, do we need the establishment to, you know, represent and, you know, give love to our films and honor our films. I'm kind of like, nah. I mean, I see the value in it because it's like, yo, stop acting like these films don't exist. But I guess on the other hand, I'm like, I don't expect them to, you know, give us the, you know, the props we're supposed to get. But I do see where both arguments are very valid. Like, yo, stop trying to act like these films don't exist. And then on my side, I'm like, yo, that's what they do. You know, that's all they do. That's how they get down. You know what I'm saying? That's their thing. besides that, the memes and stuff, and the different gifts and videos that came from, like, you know, of course, Lupita and Michael B. Jordan in the elevator. You got something that I thought was real cool was Netflix pretty much throughout the night showing love to, like, you know, people. You know, I mean, of course, Roma did its thing. Roma really held it down. And I haven't peeped Roma yet, but, you know what I'm saying, I'm definitely, you know, interested in seeing the film because there's been so much buzz about it. But there's literally, I mean, you know, there's so much stuff to see. It is impossible to, well, it's probably not impossible to see it all, but it's dang hard. but yeah, Roma is a joint that I'm, you know, excited to see. And I'll see it, you know, sooner or later. See, what else cleaned up? Bohemian Rhapsody kind of did their thing. You know, Rami Malek came through. Bohemian Rhapsody won an award. And that's a film that I thought was more on the paint-by-numbers side. But I also understand that, you know, like, yo, it's Bohemian Rhapsody. It's based on Queen, you know, Freddie Mercury. I guess they felt like, yo, we got to give it something. But I don't think the film was as strong as it could have been, or it should have been. But that's a whole nother story. You know what I'm saying? I thought, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody could have been a really deep, you know, look through the eyes of either the band or the man himself. But it just seems like it kind of ended up being, you know, kind of like your basic paint by numbers, not bad, but not great either. You know, like a basic movie, but with a great performance. I think that's what it is. I think you had this great performance, but in just a movie that's just, you know, okay. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what it ended up being for me. See, what else happened? I think that was about it. I saw a lot of people online talking about, you know, the categories, shifting Green Room to a comedy to make sure that, you know, it wouldn't compete with other dramas. And then, of course, people in general just being mad that, you know, a lot of films were being shuffled around and not really seen. And the funny thing is, I was talking to my wife, and I was like, yo, Spike Lee got a look on his face like, I don't even know why I'm here. Y'all ain't giving me nothing. Oh, man, it's funny. So is Bird Box better than A Quiet Place? No, No, it's not. I'm gonna get straight to the point. There's been a lot of people like messaging me, you know, on some, hey man, you know, you did the movie, you know, because I didn't review A Quiet Place. Like, I didn't see A Quiet Place like when it came out, so I didn't review it then. But they were like, yo, you reviewed Bird Box. Yo, which one do you like better? Which do you think is better? A Quiet Place is way better than Bird Box, because A Quiet Place, both of them have, you know, incredible amounts of tension. Both of them have incredible, you know, moments in acting. But the fact that A Quiet Place is a much tighter story, much less plot holes, and also the ending is much stronger when it comes to A Quiet Place, is just what makes A Quiet Place better. It's a tighter film overall. And also, A Quiet Place doesn't do the thing, and this is kind of like a personal thing, but it doesn't do the, what is it, the kind of like start at the future and then come back to the end, kind of like start, you know, start in the future then go back to the beginning kind of thing. It doesn't do that. Like, they just straight up tell you the story, you know, how stories should actually be told. There's sometimes when you can, you know, go to the middle of a story and then go back to the beginning, but I think it's used so much now that it's not as strong or powerful as a storytelling tool as it used to be. And now it's just kind of a trope that is a shortcut for writers, or a way to kind of like kind of pull you in and then go and give you your medicine. So yeah, I'm not a fan of that, but I still was super engaged with Bird Box. Had a lot of fun. That end got me, man. Like, if you saw the, you know, the review I put out, like, you know, that end got me, and I was just like, bruh, I can't roll with this. I like y'all got cheesy on me on it at the end. So when it comes to like, you know, just comparing these two, and I kind of see why they're compared. I mean, I can see why it's bad to compare them, and then I can also see why it's good to compare them. Like, you know, there are two movies that came out in the same year, which were about kind of like a horror, maybe thriller aspect. Well, no, more of like a horror with a creature involved where you have to lose one sense, or where one sense is greatly diminished. You know, of course, A Quiet Place, you can't talk. And of course, Bird Box, you can't see. But, or you can't talk or make any sound. And in Bird Box, you can't see. But just the way it was, the way the story was structured was a lot better in terms of just not holding a lot of baggage and not a lot of weight. And what I mean by a lot of baggage and weight is situations like MGK and the officer in Bird Box was kind of like baggage and weight. It wasn't extremely necessary. Then also, after, you know, after watching it, the run to the refrigerator, not the refrigerator, well, I mean, Lil Rel ran into the refrigerator, but the run to the grocery store was essentially just to get rid of a character. You know what I'm saying? It was to get rid of a character and then to provide the birds. So it didn't really do much but that, because it's weird. They ratchet up the tension in the car ride, but then when you get to the grocery store and after you leave the grocery store, you're like, oh, so we didn't really get anything out of this except, you know, him, you know, sacrificing himself. And it's weird because the second he was like, no, I don't want to go, everybody was like, he did. He did. But back to A Quiet Place, it's extremely well made. There isn't a part that doesn't matter to someone or something. And it's very tight, very lean, and it doesn't leave a lot of room for just excess scenes and like pointlessness. Like, you know, MGK, the officer, like I said before, just tons of random stuff where it's like, it's not super needed. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of just there just to be there. But I did enjoy it. It's just that once that end came, and then it makes you, whenever something egregious in a movie happens, and whatever egregious for you is egregious for you. But when that happens, that's when you start, you know, you start breaking down other parts of the movie, like, hold up, why they do this? Why they do that? If you stay engaged the whole time, like, of course, there's parts of A Quiet Place where I'm like, come on, bruh. Like, the main part, my main part with A Quiet Place is the boy at the beginning. If you have a child that young, that child should or would be up with the father or walking between the mother and father in the front, not trailing way, way back. That was done because they wanted to show you how serious this noise thing is. But the difference here is that the movie maintains a high level of tension, so much so that to the last moment, you are at the edge of your seat and they never drop you. So when they don't do anything super egregious, and you're just like, oh snap, that kid caught an L, you know what I'm saying? Because you can even see where, you know, his dad sat down and was like, no, you can't have this. He took the batteries out, put the toy down, he was like, no. And then, you know, the kid saw him and then he walked off. And then the sister was like, you know what, I'll split the difference. I know you really want this. Here, you can have the toy. And she left the batteries. But then the kid walked back and grabbed the batteries. You know what I'm saying? So you see this situation where this is something that could naturally normally happen because we assume that they have made runs to grocery stores and stuff before and that, you know, everything had been fine in previous times. You know what I'm saying? So you can let that go and you can still enjoy the whole movie. But when you get to the end of a movie and you're like, hold up, so the OBGYN made it? Bruh, for real though? So for me, when you do something like that, when you kick me in the nuts at the end of a film, when you punch me dead in my teeth at the end of the film, then that makes me call into question every other thing you did. And that's what really broke that movie for me, man. Do I enjoy it? Do I think you should check it out? Yeah. But I don't think it's worth, you know, the cultural phenomenon that it seems like it's becoming. So it's, you know, I'm on the fence with it. I ended up 2.5 stars, middle of the road. But yeah, it's definitely one of those joints that it got me at the end where I was like, oh no, they didn't do that. Don't do this. So it was funny to see it kind of unfold the way it did, because about when they got off the boat, I was like, man, she gonna name these kids at the end of the movie. And I was like, I know it. I just know she gonna name these kids. And I was like, you know what? I can ride with them naming the kids. But when she named it after the mom and the, I was just like, oh. So yeah, it's stuff like that where I'm just, from a movie standpoint, from an enjoyment standpoint, A Quiet Place is up somewhere like 4 or 5, 4 or 4.5 stars, something like that. And Bird Box, due to the egregious activity at the end, you know, I gave it 2.5 stars. So like, I just, yeah, I can't roll with them on that, man. I can't let it slide. So yeah, easily, by far, A Quiet Place is definitely better than Bird Box. If you see Bird Box because you got Netflix, but you ain't seen A Quiet Place, definitely check out A Quiet Place. It's, you know, available on home video or whatever you want to call it now, streaming, whatever. Find it somewhere and watch it, because that is a treat. Treat yourself. Alright, back it up. Going back it up. Alright. Ah, boy. Good drive.